6:56 p.m. on this Thursday, March 26, 2009. We do have a quorum present. To my right is Senator Meyer and Senator Thomas. To my left is Senator Davis and myself, Senator Pascvan. This is the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. The purpose of our meeting today is to take up several pieces of legislation. First, we'll open up the confirmation of governor's appointments. Second, the SB 142 relating to transfer of railroad land to Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Third is SB 42 relating to nursing mothers in the workplace. Thank you for all in attendance today. It is my intent to open up public testimony on the governor's appointments, and then if there are no testimony, which I am not aware of any one that wants to testify on that, but we'll leave it open until next Tuesday in the event anyone wants to testify, and then we'll go right into the SB 142. So with that, I guess, Sammy, is there anyone online relating to the governor's appointments? Does any member of the committee have any comment on any of the particular governor's appointments? Again, my intent is that we'll hear this and make that determination on Tuesday, but just want to make sure it's an open process. Hearing no comments at this time, we will temporarily close the hearing on the governor's appointments until next Tuesday, and the public testimony will be received Tuesday if there is anyone. So we will now move immediately into Senate Bill 142, and if Mr. Stepp on from chief of staff of my committee will present this. This is my bill, and it deals with a property transfer in Fairbanks, Alaska. So with that, please identify yourself, state your affiliation, and give the sponsor's statement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jeff Stepp, and I am the committee aide to Senator Pascvan. And in this committee, I know that when people come before the committee and say that we have one has a simple bill, it can set off alarms, but at the risk of doing that, I do want to say that this is a pretty simple bill. The Department of Transportation and Public Facilities is preparing to reconstruct Illinois Street in downtown Fairbanks, which provides primary access to downtown from the north. I did receive a map from the Department of Transportation today, a full-color map, and placed it on your desk this just before the meeting began, if you're curious about where this construction will take place. The legislation is necessary because in order to complete this project, DOT and Public Facilities needs to acquire full interest in approximately 5 acres of property. And according to the Alaska Railroad Corporation Act, legislative approval is required for this action to proceed, and that is the nature of the bill. There's been a public process. The DOT supports this legislation. The City of Fairbanks supports the legislation. And the Alaska Railroad supports the legislation. They've got letters to that effect in your bill packet, and they're also available here to testify if you have specific questions.
I think it also bears noting that there is no fiscal note as the construction costs are, or the purchase costs of the real estate are part of the construction budget, so that just so that is understood. Any questions of the committee members of Mr. Stepp? Seeing none, we will move. I believe that there's a Donna Giardino. Is she available from the to testify on this?
Yes, I am.
All right. Please state your name and affiliation and provide your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Donna Giardino from Fairbanks, Alaska. I am the Metropolitan Planning Organization Coordinator for the Fairbanks Metropolitan Area Transportation System, known as FMATS. FMATS is funding the Illinois Street Reconstruction Project out of our Transportation Improvement Program, and it has been in our program since 1985 and is in the final stages of right-of-way acquisition. This bill will enable the DOT to acquire land from the Alaska Railroad that is necessary to reconstruct Illinois Street. This project is a top priority of the Policy Committee of FMATS. The initial stage of this project, the Barnett Street Bridge, is planned to be built this winter. We are hopeful that the remainder of the project will begin construction in late 2010 or early 2011. The critical path in the schedule is the successful acquisition of right-of-way to construct the project as planned. Given that it is necessary for the state legislature to approve the conveyance of the Alaska Railroad's land interest, and the Alaska Railroad has approved this land transfer, FMATS encourages the legislature to support this legislation to allow construction of this very important Fairbanks area project. That concludes my testimony, and I thank you for the opportunity to comment, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions by any committee members? Thank you, Ms. Gardino. We also have a Debbie Golden, I believe, that signed up to testify regarding Senate Bill 142.
That's 42.
Oh, excuse me. All right, wrong one. There are three people that had question marks as to their testimony: John Bennett, Bruce Carr, or Jeff Wildridge. Is there anyone that would like to comment upon the Railroad DOT bill? I take
Mr. Chairman, this is Jeff Wildridge. I was just from the Attorney General's office. I was just here to answer any questions you may have. I don't have any testimony.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
And Mr. Chairman, this is Bruce Carr from the Alaska Railroad.
And is there anything substantive that you would like, or just if there are any questions?
I'm here to answer any questions the committee might have.
Right. Do any of the committee members have questions for Mr. Wildridge or Mr. Carr, or possibly a Mr. Bennett from the Northern DOT, Mr. or Senator Thomas?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Other than this piece of property, what others still remain to be purchased or incorporated into the project?
This is John Bennett. I'm the Northern Region Right-of-Way Chief here, and we actually have quite a few more parcels remaining to be acquired. We have been focusing on the structures in the vicinity of the Chena River, such as Sampson's Hardware and such, and we have just let a contract for the appraisal services for the remainder of the parcels heading north to College Road.
So would it, is it accurate to say that the property from the intersection of Phillips Field Road and Illinois Street is with this transfer of the railroad property is all taken care of then?
I would not say that they're all taken care of. We have several small sliver takes yet to acquire in that area. But we have the majority of the large improved properties south of Phillips Field.
Okay, thank you.
This is Senator Pascvan. Is this the only purchase that needs legislative approval?
That is correct. Only the acquisition of fee title from the Alaska Railroad requires legislative approval.
All right, thank you. Any further questions of any member of the committee? Is there anyone present here that would like to provide testimony on Senate Bill 142? Hearing none, is there anyone off-site that would request to present testimony on Senate Bill 142? Hearing none, we'll close public testimony on Senate Bill 142. The chair would entertain a motion with respect to Senate Bill 142.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Senate Bill 142 /A be moved to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and the attached zero fiscal note, I believe it was. Attached fiscal note, anyhow.
Are there any objections to that motion? Seeing none, Senate Bill 142 is moved out of Labor and Commerce. We'll take a brief at ease for signing. bring the meeting back to order. We now have before us Senate Bill 42, and I would request the bill sponsor to come before us. And
good afternoon, Mr. Chairman.
Please identify yourself. And
certainly. I'm for the record, I'm Senator Johnny Ellis, representing downtown and midtown Anchorage Senate District L in the Alaska State Senate. And if it's your pleasure, I'd like to ask Ms. Amory LeLake of my staff to join me here in presentation, the initial presentation of the legislation. Mr. Chairman, thank you all very much to you, your staff, and the entire Labor and Commerce Committee for your willingness to hear my latest breastfeeding, pro-breastfeeding legislation. I like your buttons. I'm a lactivist. I figure if I get one more pink button on this committee, I'm home free. So I'm going to be pushing the buttons. Mr. Chairman, it's rare in this tough budget year to have the opportunity to consider and pass legislation that costs the state nothing, provides preventative health benefits, cuts down significantly on health care costs for mother and infant, and serves to grow the economy by providing several significant advantages for employers and communities. 21 states and 107 countries have recognized the broad sweeping rewards from promoting breastfeeding accommodation in the workplace. And Senator Davis may be the only legislator here. I'm not sure if former Representative Meyer was with us at the time when breastfeeding in the state of Alaska technically was considered indecent exposure in Alaska statute. And breastfeeding women were relegated to sometimes not the cleanest toilet stalls in Alaska to breastfeed their babies in public places. No one was ever arrested, but it was technically indecent exposure in the state of Alaska. And so we joined together in a bipartisan way after a breastfeed-a-thon in the Farron Camp Room with some of the most beautiful, healthy babies that Juno can produce to convince the legislature over 12 years ago to change the Alaska statutes and bring breastfeeding out in the open where it belongs as the most natural and healthy act imaginable. Today we're before you to take the next step forward. There are some business concerns that have come forward since introduction of this legislation, and I am confident that we can bring back to this committee at your pleasure and timing a proposed committee substitute that will address the concerns of small businesses, the concerns that have been addressed in other states. So that's my commitment to you. In tough economic times, with the price of health care soaring, breastfeeding provides a free and simple approach to preventative medicine. Breastfed children have lower rates of diabetes and obesity and fewer respiratory and ear infections. Infants who are exclusively breastfed tend to need far fewer health care visits, prescriptions, and hospitalizations, resulting in a lower total medical cost compared to never breastfed infants. Breastfeeding also provides a long-term preventative health benefits for the mother, including an earlier return to pre-pregnancy weight, reduced risks of premenopausal breast cancer, and osteoporosis. 2005 data from the Department of Labor, since that's the purview and interest of this committee, the Department of Labor shows that 60% of women work outside of the home today. Furthermore, mothers are the fastest growing segment in the U.S. workforce, 55% of whom have children under the age of 3. Providing this growing workforce segment with the very reasonable option of breastfeeding makes sense economically and will help ensure the health of Alaskan workers for generations. In addition to the individual health benefits, Mr. Chairman, providing opportunities for breastfeeding results in substantial awards to employers, including reduced health care costs, reduced employee absenteeism for care attributable to infant illness, improved employee productivity and happiness, higher morale and greater loyalty to the company, improved ability to attract and retain valuable employees, and a family-friendly image in the community. So there are significant benefits to the business owners. The basic needs of breastfeeding employees are minimal compared to the abundant rewards offered by accommodating them and can be provided with a couple of simple steps. All it requires is for employers to provide a time and a sanitary place for nursing mothers to breastfeed or express milk regularly during the work time, and support from supervisors and colleagues. And that is the simple title of the bill, an act relating to break times for employees who nurse a child. I would urge your support and positive consideration for Senate Bill 42 because it's a simple and cost-effective way to make our Alaskan workforce, businesses, and families more productive, healthy, and happy. Mr. Chairman, if it's your pleasure, Ms. LeLake will go through it's a pretty simple bill, but she'll go through the provisions of the legislation, and then I hope we'll have time to hear from some breastfeeding mothers and some of the most beautiful babies, children and babies I've seen here in the capital city of Juneau. So thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity.
Thank you, Senator. I'm sure your staff is going to do just fine. So please, if she could present the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Amory Lelake. I'm staff to Senator Johnny Ellis. If it pleases the committee, I would like to provide you with a brief overview of the bill, followed by a description of the materials available in our bill packet. Senate Bill 42, an act relating to break times for employees who nurse a child. Page 1, Section 1 of the bill, lines 4 through 9, states that employers provide reasonable unpaid break time each day to an employee who is nursing so that employees may breastfeed or express breast milk, and that these break times may run concurrently with other times provided by the employer. Subsection B, lines 10 through 12, states that the employer shall provide a private and sanitary location within close proximity to the work area other than a toilet stall. Subsection C, lines 13 and 14, states that nothing in this section requires an employer to allow a child in the workplace at times other than break times. Subsection D, page 1, line 15, and page 2, lines 1 and 2, in this section, employer means a corporation, company, partnership, firm, association, organization, or sole proprietor, including any state political subdivision of the state. Our bill packet provides extensive evidence for how breastfeeding promotes health among members, mothers, and infants, benefits employers and the workforce, can be achieved relatively at very little cost, and has broad support from members of our communities. Please note that this bill is on the short list of the 2009 Anchorage Municipal Legislative Priorities. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to speak to you regarding this very important piece of legislation, and I've lined up a number of individuals to testify, and I'm available to answer any of your questions.
Any questions by any of the members of this committee, bill sponsor or staff? Yes, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you both for your testimony. Good bill. Just curious, though, what the penalty will be for noncompliance, or are we leaving that up to the state regulators to decide?
At this point, there hasn't been a penalty that we have come up with, but we're willing to work with small business in order to come to some sort of agreement, something that they might be able to.
I think Speaker Chenault has the death penalty. Would that work?
Oh. That might work.
That would be overkill.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Overkill.
Any other questions? We'll sidestep the penalty issue for the moment, and I'm sure that we're looking forward to receiving the committee substitute for this bill when these issues that are important are worked out. So with that, any other questions? We'll thank you for the presentation. We will open this up now to I understand there's a number of people off-site. It's a Sarah at Anchorage. Are you there?
Hello, Chair.
Would you please
Chair Baskin, members of the committee, good afternoon. My name is Sarah Grotius, and I am a public health educator with the Municipality of Anchorage Department of Health and Human Services, and I'm here to testify on behalf of SB 42.
All right, thank you. Please provide that testimony. We do have quite a number of people, so try to focus your testimony as to time.
Yes, sir. The Municipality of Anchorage Department of Health and Human Services strongly urges the passage of SB 42, Nursing Mothers in the Workplace. As a primary advocate for the health of our community, the department wishes to express its support for breastfeeding women. Increasing breastfeeding initiation and duration through positive public policy impacts several municipal public health programs. The Municipality of Anchorage WIC program is our staunch advocates for breastfeeding. The ability for a mom to pump at work is a major concern and is constantly brought up by clients returning to work. I think you've already heard testimony about the health benefits, so I won't go into that. But it should be noted that if a woman cannot pump every 2 to 3 hours, her milk supply begins to dwindle rapidly. This is a biological mechanism. And the use of an electric breast pump is a fast and convenient way for a mom to be able to rejoin the workforce and continue to take care of her infant in the best possible method for both of them. I'll just state that As an employer, the municipality recognized that breastfeeding support makes smart business sense. New mothers who aren't breastfeeding have three times as many one-day absences from work as breastfeeding mothers because their children are sick more often. Infants fed formula for the first 3 months of life incur $331 more in health care costs in one study, and that was just for respiratory tract infections compared to infants who were fed only breast milk. So in an era of rising health care costs, we cannot afford to miss this opportunity to improve the health of mothers and babies. So in short, the municipality of Anchorage supports SB 42 as a much-needed benefit for working mothers to continue breastfeeding after they return to work, and the benefits of increased rates and duration of breastfeeding will incur to the next generation. Thank you for your time, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions from the committee? Seeing none, we will move to Venetia Liston, I believe also at Anchorage.
Yes, my name is Venetia Liston. I am here on behalf of the Municipality of Anchorage. I work for the WIC program for women, infant, and children. I'm a senior office assistant. I run the front desk there. Me being a mother trying to juggle breastfeeding and returning back to work, it didn't really seem like it was going to work for me. But with the support of my employer and the clients at work, understanding how important breastfeeding really impacts my goal on continuing to breastfeed. I believe employees that support mothers in being able to breastfeed their babies at work has really changed the way mothers feel about breastfeeding. I was able to bring my baby to work for the first 6 months, and I was able to return to work earlier. Breastfeeding is the most important nutrition for babies. Breastfeeding gives babies all the nutrition babies need to protect their immune system and protect babies from infections. Meaning babies that are breastfed are healthier. Mothers who aren't don't breastfeed, have three times as many absences from work breastfeeding mothers do. Employers really need to understand that offices that allow mothers to bring their babies to work and breastfeed really change the way people feel. It has changed our work environment to where clients feel comfortable about asking questions about breastfeeding. Clients have said to us that our office is very family-friendly oriented and that they feel really, very well comfortable in breastfeeding their babies in front of other women. I like to say I support mothers in breastfeeding their babies at work. Do you have any questions?
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Seeing none, we thank you. We now go to Jennifer, is it Aist?
My name is Jennifer Aist. I'm a board-certified lactation consultant and the director of the Parent Education Program at Providence Children's Hospital. I also serve as the contact lactation consultant for the statewide WIC program. In my 15 years working in Alaska, I've had the opportunity to witness women breastfeed their babies in all sorts of different work environments, ranging from stockers at Walmart to commercial fishing to even surgeons in hospitals. I find it disturbing that more employers do not support a woman's basic right to provide milk to her baby. But perhaps more relevant to this committee, I find it completely foolish, economically speaking, that all employers do not support women collecting their milk during the workday. Allowing women time to collect their milk during the day will help recruit and retain employees and keep them on the job longer, avoiding sick days. I talk to women every day in my practice who tell me they are not returning to work because their boss is not supportive of breastfeeding. And I talk to women who are forced to stop breastfeeding due to an unsupportive work environment. This is most often seen in lower income jobs. These moms are likely on Denali KidCare, so the cost to the state of Alaska for health care increases exponentially for every formula-fed baby. Breastfeeding saves money for everyone. Women are not asking for fancy lounges to pump in. They're simply asking for the unpaid time and a clean space to do it in. Pumping only takes 15 minutes every 4 hours or so. Most moms only need to pump for a max of 1 year. That means for a mom taking 10 weeks maternity leave, she will be pumping for a max of 42 weeks times 10 times per week. That's just 420 times that she's asking for a few minutes to collect her milk that will keep her and her baby healthier, saving insurance money, Medicaid money, and the employer money. This is a ridiculously simple request that requires so little from the employer for so much gain for all. Thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Ace of the committee? Seeing none, we thank you. I believe that there are some people that are here in the audience. Debbie Ballam.
Hi.
Hi. Please state your name, affiliation, and provide your testimony. And with all the witnesses, please, we do have quite a number of people that would like to testify, so thank you.
Hi, my name is Debbie Bell. It's a good day to get laryngitis. And I work for Bartlett Regional Hospital. I'm a parent educator. I'm a nurse, a parent educator, and an internationally board-certified lactation consultant. I know that we've heard here about benefits of breastfeeding, and last year I saw a beautiful PowerPoint Senator Ellis had about the benefits of breastfeeding. But I ask us for a moment to think about there's not really benefits we're looking for here. We're looking for the risks of not being breastfed. And if we look at it that way, you can see it's a huge impact. It means not that there's less risk of dying of SIDS. It means there's a 2 times increased risk of dying of SIDS. So while the death penalty was put forward as a joke, it's really not a joke. I mean, I know it was, but you get the point. There is actually 10 times increased risk of being hospitalized for any reason in your first year of life if you're not provided with breast milk. We know women go back to work, and we know that one of the biggest reasons women in the United States of America wean is they're not able to express their milk at work. And somebody said this already, but I want to say it again. If they don't remove their milk at work, it's a biological function. What happens is there's back pressure of milk that makes the glands stop working. So they're just not able to continue. I mean, sometimes by 8 or 9 months, they might not have to pump anymore. The Juno WIC office has a folder here they asked me to bring. They were unable to come today. Southeast Alaska Health Consortium did establish a breastfeeding policy in the workplace. It's been working very well for them for the last year and a half, 2 years. And the reality is most women aren't pumping for a whole year. Most women don't come back to work for 2 or 3 months. It's a pretty small amount of time that they are actually asking to pump. And it's worked well for them. They've really seen no problems. They have very little impact. As a parent educator, do have an email list of probably 100 families in Juneau. And I sent out an email asking people to come. And if they were unable to come, as the working mothers were unable to come, to tell me their stories. And somebody made I guess it was Senator Ellis said something about women were required to go into bathroom stalls, you know, otherwise they had indecent exposure. Well, guess what? Where women are going to pump their milk? Into bathroom stalls, right here in this building. I have a woman here who's in the federal building who said that she's having to string an extension cord across the bathroom entrance and under the stall door, putting a chair into the handicap stall. I didn't realize how busy the female bathroom on my floor was until I sat there for 15 minutes. People coming, going, tripping over my cord despite my best efforts to keep out of the way, and feeling seriously uncomfortable as my pump was certainly not quiet. Looking around, I thought about how unsanitary it was for me to be here producing food for my baby. I don't prepare dinner for my family in the toilet. And yet, that's what she's forced to do at work. And women all over Juneau, this was over and over again. And then there are people who were given a place to work, and they talked about how they were able to do it for over a year, how much they appreciated their employer's ability to, their employers letting them do that. They had great affinity for their employers as a result. They were glad that they worked there. And I just have pages and pages of women, and most of them are in the bathroom. there's one, our favorite big box store in Juneau, and it says here, while the company we work for has great benefits, including domestic partner benefits, there is no place to pump. The women had to go to this was from a dad. The women had to go to the restroom in the back of the building. I felt so bad as the room was not cleaned regularly, and it was usually filthy. Finding a place for mothers to pump would not have been difficult. I believe if they had the right to 2 half-hour breaks to pump, a place would have been found for pumpers. And he goes on to say he supports this and gives his name and phone number. So I think many people have said already it's a fairly simple thing to think about doing. The cost of not breastfeeding, besides just the lost work days, and there's lots of research out there on the lost work days from employers, the healthcare costs are estimated to be $1,200 to $1,500 per child, according to Kaiser Permanente in California. So that's pretty comparable healthcare costs. The cost in the United States of America for children not being breastfed is $3.6 billion a year. I mean, that's a number I can't even fathom. So it's just big. So I thank you for your opportunity to provide this testimony.
Thank you. Any questions of the committee? We would Mindy Berry. Please state your name, affiliation, and your testimony, please.
All right. My name is Mindy Berry. This is my daughter, Delana. I'm also here with my son, Braden, and my nephew, Blake, and niece, Gloria, all of which were breastfed babies. And I recently just went back to work. I'm a first grade teacher at the Juneau School District, and I took the first half of the year off to be home with my daughter. She struggled with feeding and was starting to lose weight, and because I needed to go back to work, I was nervous that I was going to lose the opportunity to feed her, and my job allowed me to stay home with her longer and also provide break times for me to feed her during the day. I have a paraeducator who comes in when in the morning. I only work mornings. She's very smiley. and a paraeducator covers my class of 22 first graders so that I can nurse my daughter. And it works out really great. You know, there are 5 nursing moms in my building, and we have a room that is provided to us with a rocking chair that is specific for nursing babies or pumping at work. So we have been accommodated that way as nursing moms and supported by our building administrator. There's not specific policy for the Juneau School District, but the administrators have been nothing but supportive of the nursing moms that I've talked to in the district. Also, I have 2 sisters who live in the state of Alaska, besides myself, and one of my sisters is a lawyer in Anchorage, and she was able to pump after she had her babies to go back to work. My other sister that lived here, when she went back to work with her kids, she was unable to have a place to pump during the day, and as a result, her daughter got very, very sick after having to go onto formula and was not provided with a place to continue stimulating her breast milk supply. So I am in support of this bill, and I appreciate your time for letting us come in and share our testimony.
Any question of either of the witnesses? Seeing none, Tina Martin. Thank you. Okay. You have to come up and at least just say.
My name is Tina Martin, and I work for Department of Administration, and I'm a brand new mom. My daughter's almost 1 year old, and I was able to pump for about 8 months. And really, what everyone said here is pretty much what I had to go through, too. I pumped in the bathroom also, and my supervisor was very supportive of me, so I was able to do that as long as I needed to. But I did feel like I wanted to do it longer and felt like my supply kept decreasing because I just didn't have the time to do it. And in the bathroom, you kind of get some looks about, you know, being in there and pumping for your child. So I felt like 8 months was a good go, but I would wish I would have been able to do it longer. But I definitely support this bill, and I think what everyone has already said is it touches it right on the nose. So, but thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Tanya Wink.
Hi. My name is Tanya Wink, and I'm a State of Alaska employee. I have a 3-page letter, but I'm not going to read it all. But it discusses the importance of breastfeeding and why I'm here to support it.
If you would like to submit the letter to Mr. Stepp, we will distribute that to the committee members and try to keep, you know, just your testimony to very focused in time.
I worked very hard to start breastfeeding my child. I even attended a nutrition or breastfeeding consultant class with Debbie Ballum. And after I realized that it was so beneficial for him, I continued breastfeeding throughout my maternity leave. When I had to come back to work, my boss was very accommodating to my schedule. However, like everybody else in the letters that I've sent to Debbie, I had to nurse or pump in the bathroom stall. And our stall is not necessarily cleaned every day, so it was just very unsanitary. I did this for the next 6 months, and it just was getting to be too hard on me. not the timing itself, but just being in the restroom stall and hearing the people talk about how you're taking 15 minutes up in the stall and actually looking for a chair to sit on so you wouldn't have to sit on a toilet seat. After I stopped nursing my child, I started weaning him. He became very sick. He got croup. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's a coughing. And the doctor had said that it could have been due to the nursing or the weaning. And so when I tried to go back on to nurse again, my milk supply was low. Therefore, I could not. I felt very guilty about this, that I couldn't stay any longer nursing my child. So that's why I'm here to support this bill. I think that every woman should have a safe, clean, calm, sanitary place to be able to pump and provide for their children.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Seeing none, we have Cheyenne Schmidt. Please state your name and affiliation and testimony.
My name is Cheyenne Schmidt, and I also work for the state of Alaska. And my story is exactly the same as everyone else's. I had to pump in the bathroom stall. And the only other point that I would add that maybe other people haven't addressed, what this bill would be so beneficial is, despite having to pump in a bathroom stall where you think that you're surrounded by other women who are, according to the statistics we heard, mostly mothers, there is a reluctance of women to have to deal with you being in the bathroom stall, of maybe not saying exactly out to you that they don't think you should be pumping in the stall, but how maybe they're suggesting you should go somewhere else, or it makes them uncomfortable. Or even having a sign put in the stall at the time they know you're going to be there about how that handicapped stall should be used for disabled people and not for nursing moms. So it's just one more point to add that this bill would be really helpful to maybe show that people could be more accepting of nursing despite having to do it in the bathroom stall or have people suggest you sit on a toilet seat to do it.
Thank you very much. Any questions? We have, I believe, the last person is, I don't know how to pronounce if it's Ms. Waldron.
Hi, I'm Lene Waldron, and I'm here both as a business owner and a mother of two. I do have employees that have had children, and I've been able to accommodate them. I have five employees. Sometimes, most of the time, the employees are there by themselves. As a small business owner, it allowed my employees to come back to work earlier. I didn't have to replace them. They came back on an average of 6 to 8 weeks after having the baby. I allowed them to bring the baby in until they were 4 months old. I myself take my own children. It was just, like I said, it allowed my employees to come back to work earlier, therefore making not losing so much wages. And if people say they can't do it, they can, as far as an employer. I also work part-time for a furniture store in town, and I've taken my children in there. And you don't need a special room. You just need a quiet place other than a bathroom, like most of these women have had to experience. In my situation, when the employees have been by themselves, I just said, put a sign on the door, be back in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, that's all it takes. So, you know, for a small business owner to say it's impossible to provide a place, it's not. And that's what I'm here to testify as, both a mother of two and of two employees that have had very healthy children, nursing and pumping. So,
thank you very much. Any questions from any of the committee members? We now move, I believe it may be off-site, Naomi Thigner. Is there a Naomi? Naomi Thigner. Or Tigner. We'll move to the next person, Debbie Golden.
I'm Debbie Golden. I am a perinatal nurse consultant with the Alaska Division of Public Health. And I'm here to testify to support the intent of this bill to help improve a woman's opportunity to be able to continue breastfeeding longer. I don't have a lot to add to the terrific testimony that's already gone before, so I'll speak very briefly and just say that although Alaska has high initiation of breastfeeding rates, our drop-off rate is significant. So as the Division of Public Health, we are supportive of women having opportunities to continue breastfeeding, hopefully through the first year, as is recommended by all the organizations that take care of babies and support the health of moms and babies. The one other point I would want to add is just that, you know, we've known for a long time that breastfeeding is a good thing, but as a perinatal nurse consultant, I continue to be really amazed and impressed by the new research that comes out that supports the breastfeeding, how it helps improve the health of babies and moms, and even I'm sure you all are aware of the research that's been in the news more and more lately that breastfeeding even improves the health likely of people as they grow older, children who've been breastfed and even adults. So there's just a stronger and stronger case being made for breastfeeding as more and more research comes in. So thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you very much. Any questions of Ms. Golden? Seeing none, we'll move to Lori Morris.
Good afternoon. My name is Lori Morris, and I'm the mother of a 7-month-old child and executive director of a small nonprofit in Anchorage. I'm calling today to share my support for Senate Bill 42. I'd like to see Alaska join the 21 other states that have laws related to nursing in the workplace. Women hold critical roles within our workforce, and I know personally that if I was not able to nurse at work, I would have made the decision to leave the workforce. In the last several years, I've known at least 5 professional women make a decision not to return to work because their organization did not support nursing at work. Opponents of this bill may state that this mandate would be too expensive for small organizations to implement, but research by Aetna suggests that for every dollar invested to support lactation, there is a return of investment of $2.8. Families have waited too long for the workplace to voluntarily meet these basic standards. So I give my support of Senate Bill 42, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. We move to Catherine Tapey or Tappy.
This is Catherine Tapey. I'm a board-certified lactation consultant and president of the Alaska Breastfeeding Coalition. The coalition is a 501c3, and we're made up of several different individuals that support breastfeeding. And I just simply want to add to everything that has been said that Dr. Audrey Naylor said in the New York Times, she stated, a goal of the United States Breastfeeding Committee is that every woman, regardless of her employment status, will have the opportunity to provide breast milk for her baby. Woo-hoo! By showing support for SB 42, I think that the state of Alaska will take a major step towards that goal. And that will be my testimony.
Thank you very much. Seeing no questions, we'll move to Jeff Mittman. Jeffrey Mittman.
Thank you. I thank the chair for the opportunity to testify. I am Jeffrey Mittman, Executive Director of the American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska, speaking on behalf of our thousands of members and activists throughout the state. The ACLU supports SB 42. As a nonpartisan organization, we seek to protect the rights of all Alaskans guaranteed under the U.S. and Alaska constitutions and to preserve and expand civil liberties. Very simply, this bill recognizes the need for legal protections for the rights of women in the workplace, and we believe it will lead to stronger families and a stronger economy, and we're pleased to support it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Seeing none, Clover Simon.
Hi, this is Clover Simon from Planned Parenthood of the Great Northwest. I'm calling in support of Senate Bill 42. As an employer, we've always allowed new mothers to, one, bring their babies to work if it's appropriate and they don't work in the clinic, and two, if they do work in the clinic, give them ample time to breastfeed. We have a great room for all of our staff, whether they're sick or if they need to breastfeed. We have found that it allows our workers to return to work earlier, and it doesn't interfere with the productivity or seeing the patients in our clinic in any way at all. I support this. I think that businesses that are against breastfeeding in the workplace are frankly against women. We employ mostly women at Planned Parenthood, and most of our employees are within childbearing age, and so I think it's really important as an employer to ensure that they have an opportunity to come to work whether they choose, especially when they choose to be parents. That concludes my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you very much. No questions. One last chance for Naomi Thigner or Tigner. She's off. All right. I do not believe that there's anyone left on the list. Is there anyone here that would like to provide testimony? Seeing none, is there anyone either on any of the legislative information offices that has not yet provided testimony? With that, we'll close public testimony at this time, subject to reopening it with the committee substitute that apparently will come before us. And to the bill sponsor, it would be interesting once the committee substitute is put together to see whether the administration will support the agreement with business and the bill sponsor to see what the administration's position will be in that. So with that, if we'll take a brief at ease, and thank you. Bring Senate Labor and Commerce back to order. What I'd like to do is bring Senate Bill 14 back before this committee. We've had the presentation by the bill sponsor, which is Senator Davis and her staff, and we've had the public testimony on this, and I believe it's appropriate now that we make a determination, and if it's a will of the committee to move that bill out of this committee, and if so, I'd entertain a motion. Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 14, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move that we move Senate Bill 14 from committee with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note and with the version A. Is the correct
yes.
Version? Okay. Version A.
Any objection? Seeing none, Senate Bill 14 is moved out of Labor and Commerce. We'll take a brief at ease for signing. Labor and Commerce is back to order. I'd like to bring in before us now Senate Bill 106. Again, we've heard from the bill sponsor, and we've had the hearing and closed hearing, I believe, a week ago, and would entertain a motion with respect to Senate Bill 106. Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that Senate Bill 106 version /A be moved to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations in the attached zero fiscal note.
Any objections? Hearing none, Senate Bill 106 is moved out of Labor and Commerce. We'll take a brief at ease for signing, and actually I believe that will conclude the meeting. So meeting adjourned.